Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shalom Israel. How's our brothers and sisters doing in this wicked kingdom we call America? We give all praises to the Most High, to Ani Hayah, I Am. And the reason why we give all praises to our Creator, because He woke us up this morning. That many loved ones, acquaintances, friends, neighbors did not make it to this far. They're waiting for the judgment. All their works, all their deeds have been completed. The Most High has took that spirit from them and returned it back to Him. So we, as the children of Israel, the ones that have been scattered to the four winds, we say, Toda Rabbah. Thank you very much. Abba, Father, for giving us another day, another chance for us to get it right, another day to call on His name, to lift up our voices, cry out loud, and let everyone know that we worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're going to say good morning to my brother B, Sister Tamah, and to all the Hebrews out there listening. We're going to go to our Father in prayer. And if you incline the men as we are commanded, we will have nothing covering us at this moment in time when we go to prayer. Because our covering, when we stand together right now to lift up our voice to our Abba, the covering is Him. Yeshaya is our covering at this moment. And the women, you will cover your heads. Because a righteous man of Israel, a righteous brother, is your covering right now. And we will face the east, because that's where Holy Jerusalem will be coming down. And the first people that will touch foot on that holy land will be Hebrew Israelites. He will grab us from the four corners of the earth. As it says in Ezekiel, some will fly back on the wings of doves. Some will come back on the ships of Taurus. He said he will split seven streams to get his remnant back home again. Some will walk on the trestle of that land in the sea. Every submarine will be tossed to and fro. Every war vessel that's in the sea right now will be put to rest. And we will come back home. And then he tells us that he will have out of that the remnant of Edom and all the heathens that are called by his name to come serve the remnant of the house of Israel. We will not have our own brothers in slavery, in bondage, not in that hour. Because so as this Gentile kingdom ends, the Most High is going to have Israel kingdom, the house of Jacob, begin. So that's why we face in the east, and we will go to our Father in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because you have all the power and glory forever and ever. Father, we pray on this feast day, a Moedim, which is an appointed time that we don't speak our own thoughts, that we are just like your Son in this hour, that we will open up the book and read out of the scriptures. We pray for our loved ones and our family members, those that are walking in the light and those that are still in the darkness. Your Ruach will guide us all in this hour. We pray for your mercy and your love to abound over us, to give our family members another chance to come out the darkness into the marvelous light. We pray for this wicked kingdom, that you would set all things in order, that you would soften some of these heathens' hearts that gets around our brothers in this hour that is approaching. But we know that your will must be done. We know that Jacob's trouble is coming, and we pray for the remnant and the elect to only strive for you to be our king in that hour. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for all the power and the guidance that he showed us. We thank you for leaving your word behind so it can guide our path and light our steps unto righteousness. We pray this in his name, Yeshaya HaMashiach, And let the congregation, the assembly say, amen. So be it. You are with Brother Ray today. I didn't have a lesson planned, but we're going to give all glory to the Creator. We're going to leave it like that. And we're going to open up the book to find out a little about our Messiah. And that's where we're going to start off with. Talking about one that gave us an example on how we should live and be righteous. And with that, we will go as the Ruach will lead us. So the first scripture we're going to go to is Luke. Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 16. We're going to start at verse 14, just a little bit further up. Chapter 4 in the book of Luke, verse 14, and it reads, "And Yeshua returned in power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. Thus it was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found a place where it was written. And it read, the Spirit of Yah is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set in liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of Yah." And he closed the book. So while we're reading that part right there, the power of the word of our Messiah, it lets us know that his way that he was raised from the get-go, the way he was brought up, was to keep the Sabbath day holy. He went and opened up the book and taught them out of the scriptures.
The true name of our Hebrew Messiah is...
Is that Brother Tony?
Brother Ray?
What's up, brother? How you doing, Ak?
Hey, shalom, Ak. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Just listening to your study, brother.
Not a problem. I was just talking about Luke 4:16, where our Messiah, when he came and he opened up the book to tell everybody, first, that the profitable day of the Lord, he was anointed to preach the gospel. But he did that on the Sabbath day. So for everybody that's listening, for every Hebrew, for anybody that's struggling between that false dogma, that false religion of Christianity, and who you are of the people, plainly put, Israel, when he surnamed you, custom, if you follow what the Messiah is to read every Sabbath day. What do you say about that, Ak?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you, Ak.
So, you mean C.J. Bourget in Sunday worship is wrong?
I think that my feeling is, Ak, is that, if people want to worship on Sunday, that's fine. But long as they keep in the Sabbath day, you know, as long as they keep in the Sabbath day and they also worship in the Most High through His Son on the Sabbath, you know, I think we can worship the Most High and His Son, you know, through His Son, you know, anytime, you know. But I think that a lot of the people are blinded. A lot of our brothers and sisters are in these Christian institutions, and, you know, they just bypass the Sabbath and put all emphasis on Sunday. I think that's wrong. But, you know, if as long as they keep in the Sabbath and also studying and worshiping on the Sabbath, and if they want to also do that on the Sunday, hey, so be it. That's how I look at it.
All right. That's a good word for my ox. Since he said that, we're going to go to Exodus 32 and read a little bit off the book real quick. Exodus 32, verse 1. And I'm not sure where I'm going to end up at it, so give me a minute, my ox brothers and sisters. Exodus 32, verse 1. And when the people saw Moses delay to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, make us Elohim, which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what is become of him. So they don't know what happened to Moses. He's up talking to our Abba, and they scared. And they said, make us a god. Make somebody to go before us. All right, they already rejected our God right here. And it reads, verse 2, and Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings, which are in your ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graven tool. And after he had made it a molten calf, they said, these be thy Elohim, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said to, tomorrow is the feast of Yah. So right here in verse 5, Aaron decided to make an image, an altar, and he made a day, right? We know, as me and brother Tony been doing some of our studies, the Moedim, which they take out one of the words for that is feast, means an appointed time. So Aaron made a proclamation that tomorrow is going to be an appointed time for Yah. Not one of the ones that Yah made a proclamation for. We got to get this right, Israel. Like Leviticus 23, Yah tells Moses and Aaron to tell the people of Israel that these are my feasts. These are my appointed times. But here Aaron is making a tomorrow to be one of Yah's appointed times. So let's see what happens. Number 6. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat, drink, and rose up to play. Right here, brothers and sisters, the kind of playing they were doing was called grown-up playing. It wasn't no children's playing. There was no red light, green light going on right there. But I'll keep going. Verse number 7. And Yah said unto Moses, go thee down, for thy people, which you brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. So right now we know that sin is a transgression of the law. And the Most High said they have transgression going on, so they breaking the law. Verse number 8, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them, already breaking Exodus 20. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy Elohim of Israel, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And Yah said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that they may consume them, and I will make thee a great nation. And Moses besought Yah, his Elohim, and said, Yah, though thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which has brought forth out the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. Wherefore the Egyptians speak and say, for as much did he bring them out, enslave them in the mountains, consume them face from the earth, turn from thy furious wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. So right here, Moses is begging him. You've already saved us. You've taken us out of the land of captivity. You hot like a firecracker. He's hot like an oven, hotter than fish grease. And he's about to burn his people up. I'm the one that parted the sea. I'm the one that took you out. And the first thing you're going to do is start sitting in front of me. And Moses is telling them, please calm down. Now, verse 13. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest to be thy own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed and stars of heaven and land that spoken of I will give you unto your seed. They shall inherit it forever. And Yah, if it has some of my brothers like to say, Hi-Yah. And Hi-Yah repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. So right here, he's about to wipe them all up out of there. He's going to get them out of there quick, fast, and a hurry. I'm going to keep reading. I'm almost done. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of testimony was in his hand. The tables are written with both of their sides. On one side and on the other were they written. And the tables which worked on Elohim, and the writing was the writing of Elohim, graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people and what they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said it with the voice of them, shout mastery, neither is it the voice of them and cry of being overcome, but the noise of them singing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as it came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. He cast the tables out of his hand and break them beneath the mouth. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it into powder, destroyed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great of a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my master wax hot. Thou knowest thy people, that they are set on mischief. So Aaron, he made a golden calf. He the one who made a day of worship different than what the Most High has ordained. And then the first thing he said, hey, don't be mad at the people. You know they have mischief. But who's the one that brought that evil, as he said to him first? Verse 23. But they said unto me, make us an Elohim which shall go before us. For as in Moses, the man that brought us about the land of Egypt, we won't want it to become of him. And I said unto them, whoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me. Then I cast it into the fire, and it came out this calf. So he didn't even know. He couldn't even make it. It just came out the calf for them. And when Moses saw the people were naked, again, what did I tell you? What kind of playing they were doing? They weren't playing no red light, green light. They were playing high, go get it, grown-up style. And when Moses saw the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked into their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is Yahshai? Let him come unto me. And the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And when he said unto them, thus said Yah Elohim of Israel, put every man his sword by his side and go in out of the gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother and every man his companion and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses and failed the people that day about 3,000 men. We see that Aaron, he made a golden calf. He made a day of worship, and not only did he even make a day of worship, other than what the Yah said, he even said this day is for Yah. And Yah told Moses, that still ain't right. First of all, Exodus 20 tells us what? You can't make any image above or anything below. It also tells you that the Sabbath day is his appointed time. We can't make another appointed time. We can't make an appointed time for anything on this planet. We can't dedicate it to the Creator. We can't dedicate it to C.J. Bourget. We can't dedicate it to that fake Jesus that they worship upon. See, the Most High has told us those things. Hey, let me ask you this, brother. He tells us Satan is a murderer and a what?
Liar.
Yeah, murderer and a liar. Now, what's Thanksgiving built off? Is Thanksgiving built off murder and lies?
Yes, sir.
How about the 4th of July? Is that built off murder and lies?
You know it.
All right. Same thing with Sunday worship. Isn't that built off murder and lies? Who they string up? As they were building this wicked nation here in America, right? Who's the image of the people hung up on trees? Is it English people? Is it Germans? What did they do to us while we were taking out the land of our captivity? Did they lie to us about the Sabbath day? So there's books written about Hebrew Israelites. And I sent that book to Brother V and as well as you, I think a couple of weeks ago, the Hebrew back in, I think it was about 1600, where he was imploring his people to keep the Sabbath day. But you still had all these Peckerwoods, races, this system, and the laws they made up for worship. I don't know if people understand this too. America made up a law for Sunday worship. It's called the Blue Laws. You can look it up, where they say Sunday is a divine day of worship. Now, Brother Tony, Exodus 31, he tells us that Sabbath day is what? A sign between who?
Between us and him.
Break that down for me, Brother Tony. What does that mean, a sign between us and him?
That's a sign between the Most High and the children of Israel. And a day of rest, of record, you know, to, you know, recognize him, you know.
So let me ask you this. Is a cross a sign?
The cross?
Yeah, is that a sign? Is a cross a sign or is the Sabbath day a sign?
Sabbath.
That's right. So everybody that get, I mean, they get suited and booted to go worship on a Sunday. They get their best Christian hats. They get on their best Christian clothes. Some women be squeezing and dresses so tight they don't leave nothing to the imagination. The preacher over there calling himself Reverend, right? Is he supposed to call himself Reverend? It tells us in Psalms, Reverend Holy is his name. But he up there calling himself Reverend, up there in the pulpit, lusting after what sister he going to do while they all got their bling bling crosses on. Talking about this is a sign on this Sunday of worship between them and the Creator. But we can read in Exodus 31 where he said he made a Sabbath day for the children of Israel as a perpetual covenant that goes on and on and on and never ends. So it's nothing that we could put on that adorns us as a sign to us and the Creator. It's the way we live. It's the way we think. It's the way we act. It's the way we praise our Elohim. See, Sunday worship, that's an abomination, brothers and sisters. Y'all got to get it quick, fast, in a hurry, and understand it. You either building up the kingdom of the Most High or you building up Hasatan's kingdom. There ain't no middle room in here. You can't be lukewarm. Somebody comes up to me and they tell me, what do you do on the first day of the week? I could talk to my brother Tony. I can talk to my brother V. I got another brother out in Arizona I can talk to. But just like our brother Tony said before, you can't do anything that puts the Sabbath on the background, because that's what we are commanded to worship. We're commanded to keep the Sabbath day, what? Holy. He tells us to observe the Sabbath day. Is that not correct, Brother Tony, to observe the Sabbath day?
Oh, yes.
Didn't he tell us to keep it set apart? What does it mean to keep something set apart?
Totally set apart is the Sabbath.
So if we keep that set apart, can we make something that looks like it's similar to that? And say, okay, you got this set apart, but I do this and it's similar to it. It's not the same. It's the same way. This is how insulting. How about this, Brother Tony? This is how insulting is to me and Brother Tony. We know we Judah. We know we the children of the book. But we got some white, pink booty, long bears, dressed all in black, looking like saying they Jewish. Is that not an insult to us? They don't have a drop of the blood of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob running through their body, do they?
They don't.
But they say they Jewish. That means they're similar to us. Now let's put that like our Creator put down for me and you. He said, you do this and do nothing else. So, again, is it pleasing to him that we do something similar? To be like that? So we made in his image. We know how insulting it is for you not to ever been put in captivity like we are. For you not to have the burdens that evil, wicked nation is putting upon the children of Israel as we even speak. We have more brothers and sisters losing their mind right now because they elected an orange man to be president. Right? They all scared, nervous, because an orange man just became president with a toupee over his head. But we know we got the Elohim that's going to fight for us. So to ever mix the clean with the unclean, brothers and sisters, that's an abomination. So we can't be lukewarm in this hour. We can't keep Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, Sunday. You got to go back to your Abba. I was telling some brothers and sisters last night, a problem with Israel is we keep rejecting our king. The first king over Israel was our Messiah. What's his name, Tony? Brother Tony, tell him his name.
Yesha.
So we rejected Yesha. When Saul became king, they told him, we don't want Yesha to be our king. Not anymore. They should place us a man over us like all the other nations. But we ain't supposed to be like all the other nations. When you going out to vote and pushing that lever, you're breaking what it says in Deuteronomy 15. He told us that he made us to be over the nations and never place another nation over you. So why would you vote to put a German over you? Right? That's what Trump is. He's a German, ain't he? How about Hillary Rotten Clinton? Wasn't she a Jewish? So why would you vote to put that person over you? See, brothers and sisters, we got to turn back to our Abba. He's got to be our king. We got to understand that all his laws, statutes, and commandments, we got to come back to him. We got to come back to him humbly and ask him to forgive us for all our transgressions and sins. Not only did our forefathers do, but what we keep continuing to do today. Who'd you vote for, Brother Tony?
I don't vote.
Oh, what? Say it again.
Yeah, I don't vote.
That's fine. Who's your king, brother?
Yesha, through the Father, Ahayah.
Tell me what it means for him to be your king.
Man, he came to redeem his people, man. To redeem us.
That's
back
right.
To him. You know, and you know, he is the direct link for us to get back to the Father, man. So he is the king.
And when he came to redeem his people, what people are you talking about?
The 12 tribes of Israel, huh?
Break that down for everybody.
The 12 tribes that was spread all around the world, huh?
All right, so my brother said that he came to redeem the 12 tribes of Israel. The word to redeem means to compensate for their faults or bad aspects of something. To gain or regain possession of something in exchange for a payment. So my ox said he came to redeem the children of Israel. He compensating us for our wickedness. He's compensating us for our false worship that we had. He's compensating us for us not keeping his dietary law. He's compensating us for all the things that when we put up another idol and worship it for, in order to us to regain what we have lost. We regain the ability to worship with him on a one-on-one access. Regaining the ability to come back to a holy Jerusalem when it comes back down. That's what it means to him redeemed. And what we have to do in exchange for it, we have to be a living sacrifice. See, Leviticus 1 and 2 tells you everything they did to sacrifice up to the priest in order to get themselves right. Now, our Messiah, Yeshua, he was the first one to give us an example of what a living sacrifice had to be. And then Paul, with some of our Hebrew brothers, Noah Shaul, in Romans 12, he tells you it's a reasonable service for you to be a living sacrifice. You cannot be redeemed any other way.
That's right.
I think it's John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, he tells us, I think it may be John chapter 3, when he talks about us needing to be baptized in the Spirit and in water. And again, for what, the remission of our sins? Yeah, I'm going to read this real quick, Hawk. We're going to break this down so everybody be in one accord and understand. This one I ain't going to read as long. I'm going to go up to verse 6. Starting at verse 1, John chapter 3.
John chapter 3.
John, the Gospel of John chapter 3. And it reads, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. That saying came to Yeshua by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher and come from Elohim, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except Elohim be with him. Yeshua answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Hayah. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Yeshua answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, yeah. I'm going to read verse 6, and that's the last one. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. All right, Brother Tony, break that down to us. What is our Messiah telling Nicodemus, as well as the rest of the children of Israel, right now?
Basically, he's saying that you have to be revived. All the sin got to be out of you. You know, you got to come back to him in truth and in righteousness. And it has to be spiritually. It has to be spiritually. You know?
That's right. That's right.
So that's what I'm getting out of this verse, Doc.
We worship the Father in spirit and truth. I'm going to take us down to verse number 5. And Yeshua answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water. And we got a lot of brothers and sisters that think the water that he's talking about is just that earthly water, that water we dump each other in the tub with. And I feel like to my brothers and sisters so they can understand that the water he's talking about is that living water, that bread of life, the tree of life. See, in Psalms, it says the word is perfect at converting your soul, or what you call Shaul. He said the word is holy, righteous, and good. See, the water we're talking about is you have to be converted first by the word of our Creator. The Messiah has to convert you. And then you must worship the Father in the spirit. And we can find out exactly what the spirit is in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the spirit. But after that, you got to have that physical obedience that we all must have. We show that outwardly. See, we are the living temples of our Creator. So we do get baptized in water because it's what is commanded of us. But you must be first spiritually converted, brothers and sisters. You must have that ruach dwelling in you. You can't go down into the water and come up and be the same old man. And what the old man is, the one that keeps sinning, over and over and over again. You got to let that old man die. You got to come up and be a new creature. That means you're going to keep the dietary law. That means you're going to keep the feast days. Did the Messiah keep the feast days?
Oh, yes.
What feast days did our Messiah? Can we find all the feast days in the Word that he kept, or we can only keep find some of them?
He came not to destroy the law, but
that's
to fulfill.
That's right. Hey, let me ask you another thing. People that worship Christmas, right? Because that pagan holiday is coming upon us, right? We can trace that all the way down to Babylon. But they say that day is for Christ. Ain't that what the Christians say?
They try to pin that on our Hebrew Messiah.
I like how you said that. Yeah, they try to pin it on him. Ain't that what they do to us, Ox? Think about it, brother, like what Brother Tony just said. We be walking down the street. Don't they tell us we meet the description? We jacked this Hebrew up over here because we heard there was a robbery. A black man wearing a white T-shirt. So we pulled him over because he's black and he's wearing a white T-shirt. Right? They try to pin that on our Messiah. They said the reason why they chop down the tree, right? They bring that tree to their house. They decorate that tree with silver and gold. They sing
Jeremiah
to it. They
said
worship
it.
Oh, hey, you took the words out of my mouth. Hey, on one accord, one spirit, right, Ak? Right?
Yes, sir.
Messiah in flesh, he wasn't even born then. But they were still doing that paganism. So how can that be about his birthday when he wasn't even on the flesh walking the earth and you were still doing that wickedness he told you not to do?
And it
that's
says
why
it
the word tells us, yeah, that's why the word tells us to come out of her, my people. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The only way they're going to get knowledge is to open up the book. We got to study to show ourselves to prove. We got to be diligent to be workmen to help build up this kingdom. And we got to practice it right now. Man, I tell you the truth. How long did me and you talk this week, Brother Tony?
Oh, we talked every day almost. One day we almost talked for a whole hour.
Hey, me and him probably do more scripture talking in a day than them people do when they go to church on a Sunday. You think about that, Ak?
That's right.
Me and him, when we try to reason with each other out the scriptures so we can be on one accord and show love to each other as brothers in this walk, we could do more scripture reading. We did from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And them people will go up there and listen to somebody with some false title. And he will say a couple lines out the book, close it up. They'll say they got hit with the Holy Ghost, start running across the stage, yelling, screaming, the band going crazy, children crying. I mean, blasphemy going all around. But the book is closed. See, our people need to wake up. Who gave them Sunday, Brother Tony? Who gave them the worship of Sunday?
The Gentiles.
Ooh, say it again, Ak. Another nation. Ooh, yes. Right? Hey, one of them blaspheming devils, one of them white devils, right? The Pope. He went up there and said, I gave you Sunday worship. He said, I defile any man to open up the Bible and tell me where it's commanded for y'all to worship on a Sunday. He wasn't lying.
And then they try to bring up the Sunday worship, you know, when they came together on the first day of the week, so Christians will try to use that. Well, look, the disciples came together on the first day of the week, but they don't know that the disciples came on the first day of the week because why? They couldn't deal with money on the seventh day, so they have to come on the first day for the contributions, so they'll try to use that and try to tell the world,
well,
they came together
on
the first day of the week.
We're going to break both of them down. What my brother just said, it's only two verses in the whole Bible. It's only two verses in there. The other ones on the first day of the week all talk about our Messiah. And we know if you got any common sense that he woke up on a Sabbath day. But we're going to break down what he just said on the first day of the week. And we're going to put it to the words of our Messiah
and understand that when they're talking about the first day of the week, they're talking about the feast of the week. We're talking about the Sabbath. So let's go. Hey, Acts chapter 20 and verse 1. That's the first way these heathens, these Gentiles, twist the word. But we're going to get some understanding and let them know that he was talking about our feast days. And I'm going to read down to verse 16, so it'll be clear. And after the uproar, Acts chapter 20, I'm going to start at verse 1. We're going to get some wisdom on this Sabbath day. Acts chapter 20, verse 1.
Someday,
and it reads, and after the uproar was ceased, Paul came to his disciples and embraced them and departed for to go to Macedonia. And when he had gone over these parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece, and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid in wait for him, again, they weren't trying to give him no presents. They were going to kill him. When the Jews laid in wait for him, as he was brought to sail into Syria, he proposed to return through Macedonia and there accompany him into Asia, Sopor, Bararia, and of Thessalonica, Archicos, Secundus, Gaius of Dipri, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Caracrius and Tremonius. He is going before he tarried for us at Florence. Verse number 6. And we sailed away from Philippi after those days of unleavened bread. So where are we talking about right now?
Unleavened bread.
He was keeping a feast day right here. And after he sailed away from Philippi, after the days of unleavened bread, so that means the Passover and days of unleavened bread. What's the next feast day that comes after days of unleavened bread, brother? The Feast of Weeks.
Feast
of Weeks comes up, right? We talk about Pentecost, but the Greeks say we on one accord. My brother Tony would tell you go right to Leviticus 23 if you got any questions about what we say. But right here, we understand that Passover and days of unleavened bread. I'm going to read it again. And there when he sailed to Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them, Taurus, in 5 days. Where he abode 7 days. So he was there for a week. And upon the first day of the week, in the Greek word is, I messed it up. Monton Sabbaton. Right, because in the Greek, where they translate this four word out, there is no first day of the week. Again, don't take my word for it, every Hebrew brother and sister. Go look it up. In the Greek, there is no translation for first day of the week. It's called Monton Sabbaton. That means the first of the Sabbaths. But again, what do we do on Feast of the Weeks, Antonio? What do we count? We count Sabbaths, right? We count seven Sabbaths. Until we get to the 50. So, in this reading, if you took the other part of it, Monton, Sabbaton, but they don't know nothing about our feast days. So they put, okay, upon the first day of the week. But again, I'm going to read it all so you can understand when it comes to this part right here, he's talking about a Sabbath day. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber, where they were gathered together. And there he sat in the window, a certain young man, Echetus, being fallen to deep sleep. And it was Paul long preaching. He sunk down, was asleep, and fell down through the loft and was taken up dead. So he was talking so long, somebody then fell asleep and killed themselves. And Paul went down and fell upon him, embracing him, and said, trouble not yourself, for his life is in him. And where therefore was come up again, and had broken bread, and eaten and talked along, or even till bread break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. And when he went before to ship and sail to Assos, there intending to take Paul, for so had he appointed, minding himself to go afoot. Verse 14. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him in and came to Mytilene. Verse 15, and he sailed thence
and came the next day again of chills. The next day we arrived at Semos and tarried at Chugalum, and the next day we came to Miletus. Now listen up, brothers and sisters. Verse 16. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia. For he hasted it, if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. You look at everything that he was doing. Not only was he living out what it was, what they talk about in Leviticus 23, Pentecost, Day of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Weeks. He's doing it all in the correct order. But what the heathens and what our brothers and sisters that are lost in Christianity don't understand, he was showing you how he was living during the feast times. He was helping brothers and sisters. He was going from city to city within that 50 days. But again, some of y'all people will say that he wanted to keep the feast days out of obligation to the Jews. He said, no, he wanted to make sure he was there. He made sure he hurried up so he could be in Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost, which we know is the Feast of Weeks. So he was counting Sabbaths on the first of what? The Sabbath. The twisting of our word. And Peter, what we call Kephas, said it will be so. He said, they'll twist Paul's writings as well as others to their own destruction. So right here we know for a fact, you can't get it twisted, brothers and sisters. He was doing Days of Unleavened Bread, and he was doing Feast of Weeks. And again, I told you, if you look at the Greek, mon, you spell it M-O-N, ton, T-O-N, sabbaton, which means the first of the Sabbaths, and it refers to Feast of Weeks. And that's where they translated that verse out in verse 72. I'm going to give you one more so we won't be twisted.
Well, one of the scriptures that they use too, Locke, is in Corinthians, where it talks
first
about
Corinthians 16.
The disciples came together and they gave contributions to the church on the first day of the week because they couldn't do it on the Sabbath, which is the seventh day. Okay. They couldn't do it. So that's why so Christians try to use that verse too, to try to say, well, look, the disciples met on the first day of the week. They're deceiving people. They're not telling you why they met up on the first day. Why? Because they were given contributions, which is money. And they were, where he said lay aside. And I was also for a feast day as well. I bet you brought that up to me on that same verse that I didn't really read the whole verse like you had told me. And I was like, wow, that was very interesting when you brought that up.
Hey, we're going to go deeper into that. You want to read it, Ock? I'm going to stop you in a couple places. What, you want to read it? That's 1 Corinthians 16. And that's the last one that the Christians go to twist the word. And again,
that's
they got to
right.
get it, because that's my brother said it. They get that from Satan. You're getting that from another person. First of all, you're going to another nation. And again, that's forbidden for us to do. Don't take my word for it, Deuteronomy 15. You only can go to Israel to get this word. You can't go to no other nation to break down the commandments of the Most High. That goes for the Gentiles as well. The Gentile, hey, if you want to teach some other Gentiles, you go ahead. But if you're trying to come to the house of Israel, hey, you got to bow down, know your place. Speak when spoken to. But here we go. 1 Corinthians 16. You got it, Ock?
Go ahead, read, Ock. You're doing a great job, man.
All right, here we go. First one, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now concerning the collection for the saints. Well, who's the saints? Again, we got to get clarity when we read this word. Who's the saints?
The children of Israel.
Goodness gracious, say it again.
The children of Israel.
So you mean when the Pope says this woman is a saint, or Saint Vilibor Factivisus, he ain't a saint? You mean them Roman devils ain't saints just because they call themselves saints?
They lie.
You mean them Roman devils that anoint themselves with a title can't anoint themselves in a title according to our manuscript? Hey, let's get it real straight. A saint, he's a part of the remnant. That means a small portion of Israel. He's the elect. That's what he's chosen by the Most High, right? To preach his word, to do his commandments and do his deeds. That is what a saint is. Right? My brother V was here. He'll give us a precept on what a saint is. Told our Rabbi, you with us in spirit, Ox. But let's keep reading. As I have given order to the assemblies of Galatia, even so do ye. So he told the Galatians, this is about the saints' business, right? This is about Hebrew business. First of all, keep your business out of our business. But as he was telling them, I gave this order to the Galatians, and so do ye. Upon one of the weeks, and let's break it down. Some people's book says upon the first day of the week. I put it like that. Upon, my word says upon of the week. So upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. Hey, we're going to break this down. What does it mean to store, Ox? What
like
does that word store mean?
Like almost like to save, like to, you know, lay aside, you know, to have it for the church.
Oh, I like that. He said lay aside. That's a great explanation. To store means to retail, establish a quantity of supply or something kept for use as needed. Let me read that again. A quantity or supply of something kept for use as needed. Keep or accumulate something for future use. That's what the word says, not mine. Hey, and again, we can give precept out for this too. What did the Most High tell Joseph to do for the children of Israel before the famine does? He had made sure he what? Stored it up, right? All that grain and stuff, right? That way we didn't go through the famine when we were in Egypt like that. Is that correct, Hawk?
That's correct, Doc.
All right, so we know what the word store means according to the Most High and according to what the word means in the word. Let me read it again. Upon the first day of the week, let one of you lay by him in store, as Yah has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. What it means not to gather, Ox?
No coming together, no gathering.
All right, so let's break this down and let's see how the Christians use it right here. Just these first two verses. So, the store means to put aside, lay it up for future use, and not to come together. We're going to put something aside for future use, and we're not going to come together. But the Christians on Sunday say, everybody what? Come together and give it to me. Don't store it. Give it to me. Is that not correct, God?
That's right. So
that's why he tells us we in Babylon. We confuse. You understand that, Ox and brothers and sisters? That's what Babel means, confusion. Right here, me and my brother reading this word, where he tells you to lay by in store. That means to put it up. And he tells you there'll be no gatherings, not to gather. Because the only time we are supposed to gather is his appointed time. But if you keep reading this, this will all be clear to you. That's why this is Hebrew business, and you got to keep them out of our business. Verse number 3. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, then will I send to bring you liberty unto Jerusalem. And if he be met, that I go also, that they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, in winter with you. So he's saying, I'm going to come. I'm coming down there. I may have to stay the whole winter because I ain't traveling in the winter. I ain't no fool. Let's keep reading. That you may bring me on my journey whatsoever I go. For I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if Yah permit. But I will tarry Ephesus until Pentecost. Two more verses down. For a greater door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now the time has come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of Yah as I also do. Now, he was going to send brothers to collect all that stuff that they laying up in store for Pentecost, for the Feast of Weeks, right? That's the reason why they were stormed. That's why they didn't need to gather together. They gather together, what, on a Sabbath day, which is commanded, and on Pentecost. But if they were storing up, and this is what some people really got to understand, and I'll break this down for us so we can truly understand. On the Feast of Weeks, when we gather all that stuff, we gather up the best, Tony. We get the best that we can. If we can't travel and we got to go a long distance, right, we take the money that we have, we take money with us, and then we turn that into goods. We turn that into spices. We turn that into herbs. We turn that into food. But we buy the very best. We buy the very best wine. And we give that to the widows, the shut-ins, to the children and brothers and sisters of Israel that don't know the power of our Elohim. That's what we're giving all this up to at Pentecost. We're trying to bring those that are lost, which is what the Most High told us to do from the get-go, back into the faith. So that's what he is talking about, the collection of the saints. The saints are doing the work of their Father. They're bringing them back into the Feast of Weeks to let them know exactly the power of our Lord. That's the ones that, if we are a little better off, like me and my brother Tony, we may be a little bit better off than the brothers and sisters in the projects. We definitely better off to the ones that are homeless. We definitely better off to the ones that don't know where they're going to get food at the next day. So when we come together on Pentecost, me, Brother V, whatever it may be, other ones that sojourn with us or come together with us, we got to give those that come to us on Pentecost their very best. We tell them, like the same way that Shaul just said, if the Yah permits it, if the Yah be with us, then that's what we'll do. Pentecost for us, we understand that's going to happen going towards next summer. So that's a ways away. We may not make it that far. He may put us to rest. He may come take back that spirit from us. But if we do make it, that's what we're commanded to do. We got to teach everybody. Everybody that's listening to us right now, if you're one of the states, right, you need to lay by in store with the Most High has prospered you. And you'll start doing that after the Passover, after Days of Unleavened Bread. And then you'll start laying by in store with the Most High has prospered you. And then when we get together on Pentecost, we ain't doing like some of these other Hebrews or Christians are saying, turning it up. But we're going to get there and give all glory to our Elohim. Again, another writing that Shaul talked about this is 1 Corinthians 11, when he told them that some of them come together just to eat and drink, but they weren't coming there to bring glory and honor to our Abba, to our Messiah. And that's what we need to do on the feast days. When we come together, we need to be in the Spirit. When we come together on this Sabbath day, we have to be in the Spirit. We ain't looking for earthly food on the Sabbath day. We're looking for that righteous food. We're looking for that water where we'll never thirst again. We're looking for these living words, brothers and sisters. That's what we need on the Sabbath day. See, the fleshly, that food, that's only a small part of it. Right, that's part of the celebration that we give back to Abba. That's part of the joy that we have because he let us, man. Hey, how many
well
brothers?
Said,
huh?
Well said, huh? Well said, brother.
Yeah, it is. How many brothers do we know just in this year so far, and the year is not over, that have been shot by the police, that have been claimed? Oh. I mean, we have one sister, they said she hung herself up with a trash bag that's a, it was a 6x8. Try a trash bag, man, I can't even put my cantaloupe pill inside a trash bag that then, and it won't bust. But they say a 160-pound woman hung herself with that. Do you hear the arrogancy of this heathen, how they destroy our people and don't take no responsibility for it? See, on this Sabbath day, when we come together, it's not just because we want to fill our bellies. We bring glory to our Abba. So we let everybody know in his kingdom, it's going to be a Sabbath day. And this is just a shadow. What me and Brother Tony are doing right now, this is just a shadow of something great to come. Because if we run out of wine, who's going to give us more wine, brother?
and get us more wine?
Yeah. So let's break this real down. We in the Sabbath day. Say we run out of fish, right? Who going to give us more fish?
Yeshua.
Oh, that's right. He already did it once, though, didn't he?
Yes,
hey.
He did.
If we run out of wine on the feast day, who going to give us more wine?
Tell me,
Oh, Yeshua, right? What did Mary tell him, right? When they were at that wedding, and she said, we run out of wine. She said, I know you can make more. I know you can do it if you want to.
And
he turned the water into wine, right? And then when they got
Christians
that wine, what did they say?
Grape juice, though.
Huh?
Christians will try to say it was grape juice, huh?
That's why we tell them to stay out of our business, right? This ain't no Christian business. This is Hebrew business. Right? And he turned that water into wine. And they said, this is the best wine that was at the party. They said, you kept the best for last. That's how good that was that he turned to them. How about on preparation day? He gave us twice as much manna from heaven on the preparation day so we could get prepared for the Sabbath day. So what I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you keep your mind focused on our Creator and his business, and he will make an increase to you on his appointed times, at his leisure. We don't have to worry about this. So you'll get a lot of brothers teaching that America's going to get blown up. We're going to be destroyed. You better get your canned goods. You better stack up your bottled water. You better hope that you got a bunker. Man, the Most High got my back. I ain't worried about the Satan 2 bomb that Russia done built. I ain't worried about the nuclear weapon that America got. I ain't worried about that orange heathen walking around called Donald Trump. Ain't no way, no how. He said the angel of his presence will go before me to fight. Don't you understand? That's just like how they blew the trumpets at the wall of Jericho and it fell down. The Most High has got us, Israel. But we got to turn back to him. On the Sabbath day, we bring what we need to bring, but the most important thing we bring to anybody to fellowship with us is this word. They got to understand this word because that's the only thing that will light their path and bring salvation to their soul. Nothing else will. Me and Brother Tony, only thing we can do is drop some seed down and pray that it lands on fertile soil. We hope that you ain't rock and covering, that the seed just stay on the top of it. We hope you don't have a whole bunch of branches and thistles that when we drop this knowledge out to you, you let it go somewhere and get choked out. You bring it back to your pastor or your reverend, and he tell you, man, you don't need none of that stuff. We don't even need to keep the Ten Commandments like Creflo Dollar does. He said, don't even keep the Ten Commandments like Fat Boy Petey Snakes do. He tell you, as long as you say Jesus, you okay. Where you find that word?
Boy, they are some deceiving brothers. And John Hagee. Big old John Hagee.
Yeah, so we just drop and see. We pray that another brother and or sister will come down and water that seed that you may hear today. And then if you're lucky, if the Most High chooses, he'll make the increase in your life. Because no man made an increase in my life. You got to understand that. No man made the increase in Brother Tony's life. No man made the increase in Brother B's life. It's through the Most High giving us that ruach. The saying, okay, I'm with you, brothers. Y'all preach that word my behalf. I'm going to let you have recollection of Scripture. Boy, I'm as slow as a bag of rocks. I ain't going to lie to you. But some people say, man, you must be reading forever. Man, the Most High tell me where to go. It ain't me. And none of these words are mine. I don't got no more wisdom than one of the brothers that's a poet that do a whole bunch of rhymes that can put words together like it's nobody's business. The problem is they decided not to serve our Father. You're going to come to a point, Israel, when you'll see more Hebrews coming back to the Father, and they'll be all saying on one accord, how great he is. That's going to be a glorious day. Instead of them trying to rhyme about dollar bill or a stripper pole, they're going to be rhyming about the Most High's business, about his word, about how he loves us, putting precept upon precept upon precept, line upon line upon line, a little here and a little there in a song, the same way that King David used to do. That's the power of this word. Hey, I think we're running out of time. Maybe we're not. It's only 11. You got any words of wisdom you want to give to the brothers and sisters out here?
Yeah, just want to say that that was some great words. I love the way you put that whole thing together, man. And, I just want to tell all my brothers and sisters out there to stay strong, you know, because it's hard. It's hard dealing with life, you know. Sometimes, you know, the fallen one will come at us in many different ways. You just got to really stay prayed up, you know, and just read your word. Just sometimes just take a little bit of time day by day and just really come to the Father, you know, early in the morning before you get up for work. Come to the Father through his son, Yeshua, you know. That's the main thing, going to the Father through his son. Just staying prayed up, you know, keeping the Sabbath. And he couldn't have said it any better, right? You know, a lot of these people are worried about food rationing, water rationing. Oh, I'm going to get a rifle, I'm going to have a gun, because you never know what can happen. I was into all that. I was definitely into all that, you know. But like you said, man, you know, when we have our Abba, when we have Yeshua, you know, we don't need none of that. He'll guide you, you know. He'll protect you. He'll send his angels to protect you. That's a promise. And, you know, I appreciate you bringing that back up again. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that, you know.
Hey, I thought those were real good words from you. And like you said, starting your day, ending your day, just like how we bring the Sabbath in and we end the Sabbath, talk to your Father. And he talks about going into your prayer closet. But learn to pour out your soul to the Father. Let him know that, you know, I got problems in my life. It could be with a loved one. It could be with your kids. It could be just yourself. You know, you could be fighting with demons. You could be fighting with unclean spirits. Let him know what you're struggling with. Let him know what's stopping you from coming to him to know him better. I mean, talk to him. Bear out your soul. As the word says, get naked. And let him come into your life. Let him know that you ain't strong enough. Let him know you weak. Say, I know that Solomon had wisdom, but he still departed from this. I don't want to depart from the faith. I want to stay in the faith. But I got these things in my life that's hindering me right now. Father, help me. Make me stronger where I'm weak. And that's one of the things that our brother V says so well, because he's with us in spirit right now. He says when you're talking to the Father, when you're going to pray to him alone, he should talk to him for real. Don't just talk to him like our Father out in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and lead it like that. I mean, let him know. Talk to him. And he sent me another scripture when we were at 1 Corinthians 16. So I'm going to read what Brother V texted me. He wanted me to read. I'm going to read Psalms 148, verse 13 and 14. Psalms 148, verse 13 and 14. And my brother Tony, he made a straight claim with the Saints word. But Brother V gave us a word for it. And it reads, let them praise the name of Yah, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and the heaven. He also exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye, Amy. Hayah Ashar Ani Haya. For those who don't know, Ani means I. Haya. I am, to be, existing. Ashar, that. I am that I am. All praises and great glory to our undefeated King. So I want to say one thing out in closing. To my brother V and sister Tamar, I say, you know, I'm glad and happy that the Most High, through these years, have put us into each other's life. I hope that the Most High has got you safe here in the Sabbath day. I understand. I know you're listening because he texted me while we're doing it. I also want to say thank you for the Most High to put Tony in my life. This week, and Wells, last week, me and Brother Tony texting back and forth and talking on the phone. To me, I think that's such a great thing. We got to learn to become neighbors to one each other. We got to learn to search out the remnant of Israel. We can't be worrying about desperate housewives or empire or what football game is going on. We got to be about our Abba's business. And the only way you can be about your Abba's business is if you got your mind on one accord and you're searching out the kingdom. And that means you're going to have to do that on the first day of the week, on the second day of the week, on the third day of the week. You're going to have to do it during the midst of the week. You're going to have to do it at what the heathens call Thursday. You got to do it on the preparation day. See, your mind should already be focused on the preparation day towards your Father. See, what they call Friday. Your mind should already be saying that, hey, I got to get stuff ready for my Sabbath day. I got to make sure that everything's lined up. The people around you should know this. This shouldn't be no mystery. This shouldn't be nothing that's hidden. If they say, hey, we got this thing to do, no, I got things I need to do to get prepared for the Sabbath day. If you want to spend that time not worrying about the cares of the world, but really getting to know the Father. On like we start off on Luke 4:16, that was his custom. See, not only was he teaching on the Sabbath day, he knew what the preparation day was for. He was teaching the lost sheep of Israel, the house of Jacob, how to come back to the Father. See, even though we scattered out, it tells us in Ezekiel 18 that he's a sanctuary for us no matter where he scattered us. But we have to return to the Father for that. If we don't return back to the Father, we're lost and we're in the same state that we were in from generation to generation to generations for those that reject it, the cornerstone of our faith. If you don't turn back to him, you're at the mercy of Donald Trump. You're at the mercy of the United Snakes of America, the United Murderers of America. You're at the mercy of the ones that killed your ancestors on 1619. You're at the mercy of the ones that gave the Indians the smallpox and blankets full of death. You at the mercy of the ones that said the Indians used to live in teepees when we know they had cities built up. You at the mercy of the ones that said that you have freedom but made black code laws up in 1865 and they keep you in jail to this day. You at the mercy of the ones that call just us but you're still looking for justice. See, unless you return back to your Abba, he ain't fighting for you. He ain't listening to your prayers if they're abominations. You can't sit down to dinner with a big plate of pork, crab on the side, Twinkies for dessert, and start praying over it, talking about, keep me safe. That's an abomination, brothers and sisters. It's an abomination to your temple, and it's an abomination to the Most High, because he says in Leviticus 44, this is the words of the Most High. This is what I sanctify for you to eat. This is what's clean and what's unclean. The same way that Shaul told Timothy in his letter, 1 Timothy 4, pray over your food with the word of Yah. has sanctified. See, there's no new teaching here. I can't pray, Most High, let me have a good Christmas. Let us be happy on Good Friday. See, these things are abomination. See, if you're saying Good Friday and he rolls up on Sunday, then you're saying that he's a liar in Matthew 12:40 when he said he spent 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So you have to be walking in this truth. And the truth is what we find in the Word. That's the scriptures, brothers and sisters. That's the good news. In Galatians chapter 1, Shaul tells you, let anybody be accursed if they change what the Messiah told you in the gospel. He said, if an angel from heaven comes down and change what he says in the gospel, let him be accursed too. So the Most High didn't change his Sabbath day. He didn't change the Day of Atonement. He didn't change Feast of Weeks. He didn't change the Passover or the Sabbath day. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But you got to get to know the Creator. You got to study to show thyself approved. You got to give all diligence to add to your faith. You got to give all diligence to add patience to your faith. You got to give all diligence to add long suffering to your faith. You got to give all diligence to add peace to your faith. Love, kindness, meekness. See, this is what makes your faith abound. And then your faith must line up the same way that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did. Our forefathers of the faith. Abraham was counted to him to be a friend of the Most High. But he said, you can also be my friend if you keep my commandments. And my commandments are not grievous. This is not a burden to keep the Sabbath day. That's a lie of Satan. That's a lie of the Catholic priest. That's a lie of the Gentiles. That's a lie of some of the Shemite brothers that teach this word. It's not a burden to keep the Sabbath day. It's not a burden to keep the feast days. Except it's the opposite. It's a peace. It's a happiness. It's a gladness to know that what I'm doing is helping me on the path for eternal life. See, in the Garden of Eden, he put Adam to sleep, a deep sleep, and took out of him a rib. And then he made woman. But you believe all these heathens, all these predators that say they can do genetic cloning, that they can make life, that they can manipulate DNA, gene sequencing. But the Most High said he could do that from the beginning. But you put more faith in them. He said, what's asleep, he'll bring back again. Woe to you that don't understand that he can wake your butt up and give you torment for the sins that you have done. An everlasting burning, a pain that won't be quenched. Why would you want to fall in that state? Why would you want to live a life that keeps you separated from the one that created the sun, the moon, the stars, that makes the earth spin on its exact rotation, that keeps the seas at bay so it won't overcome us at land, that keeps the earth from shaking, that we won't have earthquakes? Why would you want that to be your enemy instead of having that be your friend? So to all the brothers and sisters of Israel, we say thank you for listening. But search out the Most High. And there's only one thing that can keep you from not knowing the Father, and that's yourself. All right, with that, we're going to say Torah Rabbah. We're going to let y'all go and enjoy your Sabbath day. And Brother Tony, thank you for coming online today. Hey, you still going to go downtown?
Yeah.
Hey, bring your sword with you. Teach them a little something.
Man, the apocalypse.
Hey, pray us out so we can go.
I just thank you, Most High, through the name of your Son, for this beautiful Sabbath day. We honor and worship you on this Sabbath day. Through the name of your Son, Yeshua.
And just ask that you forgive us for any sins, Most High, and ask that you bless this day. And if I did anything on the Sabbath day that went against you, Most High, I'd ask that you forgive me in the name of your Son, Yeshua. And we just pray this day, and so be it.
Amen, so be it. All right, Shalom, Israel. I see you later, Brother Tony.
Shalom.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth. Outer space.